Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you from Building 27 in a really interesting maker space. I'm here with a special guest. Why don't you tell us who you are, what you do, bud?
Yeah, I'm Thomas. I'm one of the HockeyApp founders and now the product owner here at Microsoft.
HockeyApp? You're the founder of HockeyApp.
I'm one of the founders of HockeyApp.
Well, see, we were going to get into the history of this at the end, but let's get into the history of HockeyApp because now it seems a little more interesting. What is HockeyApp? And then let's get into the history. Yeah.
So HockeyApp is a platform for mobile and desktop developers. We started with iOS and Android, but today it's iOS, Android, Mac, and Windows. So it's really desktop and mobile. And we have four core features. Mm-hmm. Distribution, so you can upload your build with drag and drop from your build system, whatever, and send it to your testers, and they can install it on their device directly, like it's coming from the App Store.
Okay.
Then they can give feedback, so you can bring up a feedback sheet, type a message, attach a screenshot, annotate that screenshot, send it back to the developer, so you as a developer know what's wrong, all right? Mm-hmm. And then we automatically collect crash reports. So whenever your app is crashing, we send a crash report from the device to HockeyApp, we process the crash report, put it in buckets, and then you know what's going wrong. And that works not only for beta apps, but it continues through the whole life cycle. So you start with the early prototype, it's, you know, in the beta version, and then it's in production, so we get lots and lots of crash reports, and hopefully fix them over time. And then the new feature that we announced at Build about a month ago, and then added more stuff at Evolve a few weeks back, is user metrics. So you get users, sessions, you can see how many crash-free users your app has, and custom events.
That's interesting, because I originally naively thought that it was just like glorified telemetry, but it seems like with HockeyApp, you start from the beginning of the development cycle all the way through the end. And so it feels very DevOps-y type.
Yeah, and we call it mobile DevOps. And it's really the idea is that, you know, you have an idea, you have a prototype, but you want to build something you want to share. So what do you do first? You upload you upload the build somewhere and share it with your friends or with your team members. And so that's where we start with HockeyApp, right? You upload your build, you send it out to testers. And then naturally, you want to see how it's going. And so you integrate our SDK, you collect crash reports, feedback, telemetry. And so from the very early days of your life cycle, you know everything's going on with your app. And then you continue to use that same feature. So in a year from today, you can still see, oh, that crash report, we already had it a year ago, and we didn't fix it. So maybe it's time now to fix that crash.
And another interesting thing that maybe people don't think about is you might have a tab on your app that you have invested all this time in that no one ever uses.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the point of even investing in that further? Yeah. So let me see if I can summarize. So we have the testing, we have the feedback, we have the telemetry. What was the last one?
Crashes.
Crashes.
Yeah, crashes.
Crashes. So crashes and then telemetry. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, mobile world is still new-ish for me. Is it hard to sort of integrate this stuff in? Or do you have to have a mindset where, like, hey, I got to start thinking this way? And then it integrates in. So let's start with that. How do you make this work inside of your applications?
So to really the starting point is you create a HockeyApp account, and you can take any build you have and just drag and drop it to our web interface and upload the build. And that gives you immediate testing, right? So you can share the build with your testers. They get an invite saying, hey, Thess has invited you to test out Project X. You tap the link, you accept the invite, you can start testing. Right. Now, that doesn't give you telemetry because you haven't done anything to your code, but you're immediately able to distribute your tabs to your apps, to your testers. To integrate the SDK, you download our framework, you integrate our source code, we have a NuGet, whatever you're doing, whatever programming language you are using, we have something for you. It's all open source on GitHub, so if you like to play with the code, you know, you're a maker, like here in the Maker's Garage, you can actually fiddle with the code, but we also give you a framework or NuGet prepackaged, and you add that to your project, and you need a little token from the HockeyApp web page that you put into the three lines of code to initialize the SDK, and that's it, and you're ready to go.
And that's interesting because what you're saying is that you can integrate HockeyApp as much or as little as you want to code-wise, but you can still take advantage of certain things.
Yeah.
And the more you use the SDK, the more sort of insights you get into your application.
Is that right? It's all open source. You can actually see what we're doing. You have full control about what features are enabled or disabled. We're not forcing you into anything. It's really you making the decision what you want and what you don't want. So and with feedback, for example, right, it's if you don't integrate a shake gesture or a button, there will be no feedback, right? Because the user has to trigger it somehow. So it's up to you how you want to integrate it into the app.
Okay. So then the other question that is probably going to come up in the minds of developers is, what kind of apps are these for native Android, native iOS, and native Windows Phone apps? Is it only for like Apache Cordova applications? Mm-hmm. Is it for the new Xamarin stuff? Where does it work?
Almost all of it. So it's native iOS, no matter if you're doing C++, Objective-C, or Swift. It's native Android. It's so Java or C. It's UWP, like the Universal Windows Platform, which covers Windows and desktop, right? It's Windows desktop apps and also Mac apps.
So Windows desktop app as well.
Yeah. So nice. UWP gives you Windows desktop and mobile.
Of course.
And then we also have a WPF SDK, and we are bringing support back to Windows Phone 8. So basically, we have all the Windows platforms. Some of them are fully ready. Some of them are coming soon. And then you mentioned Cordova, you mentioned Xamarin. We also have a Unity SDK and React Native. So really, whatever you want to do, any app, any platform, that's our philosophy.
And that's super interesting because I first started thinking, oh, this is mobile only. Yeah. But it's probably interesting to get your telemetry on a UWP application that users might be downloading from the store.
Yeah, and it's not only UWP, right? It's UWP, iOS, and Android, because really, when you start with mobile, you might go iOS first, you add Android, you add UWP, and you want all of that on the same platform. So it's platform independent in the truest sense. We don't restrict you anyway. And then we had users, customers of us, that wrote their own SDK. Because it's open source, it's an API, right? The only you really need to know is the way how to generate the payload that's posted to our API. So you're not restricted in any way.
So they're like probably REST endpoints somewhere that you could write your own API around as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's super interesting. So now the next question that I'm going to ask is, recently Microsoft has acquired Xamarin.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their own similar kind of thing. What's the future of that versus HockeyApp? Is it the same thing now?
Yeah. So Xamarin had a product called Xamarin Insights, which was telemetry only, so crash reporting, users and sessions, events. And we have joined forces with that team, and we announced that at Build. So the Xamarin Insights team and the HockeyApp team now work together on HockeyApp. Mm-hmm. Future product is HockeyApp. We are bringing over Xamarin Insights features to HockeyApp. We announced the first feature, Managed Stack Traces, shows you all the nice C-sharp mono stack traces in HockeyApp at Evolve. And we are bringing more in the next few weeks. The teams are really excited. And Xamarin has another product called Xamarin Test Cloud, which gives you cloud testing with thousands of devices. And this is now a partner team to us, and we're working together to make that story even better.
So in essence, the acquisition of Xamarin has only made HockeyApp better.
I mean, it has made Microsoft better, I would say. We have now really, we're getting into a stage where we get a really powerful mobile story. We have VSTS, which we already had, right, which gives you build, release, work item tracking, Git repositories, private. We have Test Cloud, which allows you to automatically test your apps on thousands of devices in the cloud in parallel, right? You don't have to, you know, click through all the devices and see if there's a certain issue on a certain device. And then you have HockeyApp for distribution and telemetry crash reporting.
Awesome.
And those form what we call the mobile DevOps cycle. And of course, you have Visual Studio, which gives you your IDE or VS Code on Mac to edit your files.
Awesome. Yeah. So we've talked a lot about this. I feel like we promised a lot of stuff. Can we show some kind of demo of how this actually works?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do it.
So the first thing I want to show is the HockeyApp dashboard where you see all your apps. It doesn't matter whether you're a developer or a tester. As long as you got invited to an app, you can actually see the app on your dashboard, like on your home screen. You can see the download page, download an app. And so to download an app, I actually switch over here to my phone. Okay, so I open HockeyApp on my phone, and I have that HockeyApp icon here that gives me a list of all my apps. So you can see the same apps that I saw on my desktop here on my phone, and I can scroll down. I can tap on an app like this, my health app, which is a demo app that we show at conferences. You can see the release notes for that version. So that version has a new HockeyApp SDK and has some bug fixes. I can see the version history, so I can see what has happened in the past, and then I can tap install here and install that version. I get a little confirmation dialog, I tap install, I go back to my home screen, and now the app is installing here like it would install from the App Store. So that's the distribution part, where it's really like, for the tester, no more tethering the device via USB, syncing with iTunes or the Android console, anything like that. You really go just to HockeyApp, you tap install, the build installs on your phone.
Let's pause right there, because I feel like we went over this so fast that we're kind of losing fidelity here. When you're going to the website?
You're going to, so, basically, the developer has uploaded a build
to HockeyApp,
and then had said, Thomas should test that build, so he entered my email address. I got an email, I accepted that email, now the app appears on my home screen. I can tap the download page and download the app for my phone.
So the app appears, is there like a HockeyApp app that's living
on
your phone?
You can see that here in the phone at the bottom, that's the HockeyApp app, and I installed that from HockeyApp. I just went to install.hockeyapp.net. and that installs that icon on my home screen. Mm-hmm. It's really just a web page, so that looks like a native app, but it's really not. It's a web page that runs in Safari, but emulates how the App Store would work.
And so you, as a tester with your device, you're no longer required to have to be tethered to your Mac to actually run it from your. You can actually get a build from somewhere else, and then maybe you have your early beta insiders group that are part of your. And then you can go and download the app and install it.
And even better, once you have the first build through our SDK, we check if a new update is available. So once you're hooked to the first beta, basically the beta will tell you, oh, a new beta is available. Seth has uploaded some new bits. And you can directly update from the previous build to the next build from the app itself. So assuming you're actually using the betas you have on your phone, you're constantly getting new builds. Some Microsoft apps here internally, I get a new build whenever I launch the app. I always have the latest bits, and so I get the developers gain a lot of confidence about the quality of their builds.
So is that a way of, like, because, for example, eventually you want this thing in the App Store, perhaps. Is this sort of the intermediate staging area before you go and get it from the App Store?
Yeah, so it is kind of like really before you get to the App Store, but also after you get to the App Store, right? Because your 1.0 is not the end of the story. You have new ideas. Mm-hmm. You might even launch new builds while your app is still in review with Apple. And so your developers will always stay up to date with what you're developing next, while your real customers have the store build, the production build from the store.
I see. Yeah. That's awesome.
And so the idea is then if you combine that with VSTS and the build pipeline that you have in Visual Studio Team Service is that whenever you push a commit to your Git repository, automatically a build job runs, and that build job uploads the next build to Hockey app, and your testers get a notification. So you get that first half of the loop that you commit, you write new code, you commit it, and your testers immediately get the bits a few minutes
later. That's amazing, because then now you don't have to go through this complicated process of perhaps putting it in the store bad bits.
Yeah.
Now you can actually release to a select amount of people and know if your code's doing the right thing.
Yeah, and we call that continuous delivery, which really is a continuous process. It's no longer shipping a build every 3 weeks or something. It's continuous day in, day out. You get new builds with new commits.
Love it. So it's that easy once you get it in there.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about how you would actually get your app in there?
Yeah, so it's really, how do I show that to you? So let me just, this is the My Health app.
Yeah, let's get into this a little bit more, because I feel like we kind of shorted this particular telemetry.
So I clicked on an app on my home screen here in Hockey app, and I can see all the data for that app. So you can see, this is the My Health app here. It's an iPhone app. It's signed with an enterprise profile. The latest build is 1.2.77, and it had 6 downloads.
What does enterprise profile mean?
On iOS, there are 2 kinds of profiles. One is the so-called enterprise profile, which you can use within a company to distribute builds to all employees, and you don't have to collect any device ID or anything like that. The build basically is immediately installable by all the employees. Now, the opposite is ad hoc provisioning, which requires you, or Apple requires you, to collect the device IDs first. So the first thing before you can send out a build to your testers is that you have to collect the device IDs. Now, Hockey app helps you with that by installing, when you install the Hockey app, when you install that Hockey app icon on your phone, we automatically collect the device ID. So the developer knows which device you own, like an iPhone 6S, and what device ID that device has. And so you can add it to the ad hoc provisioning profile, sign your app with it, and then the build is installable by your test audience.
Got it.
And this test audience doesn't have to be part of your company. But for enterprise, Apple says, those have to be employees or contractors or people on your site.
I see.
It can't be, you can't use that to bypass the App Store and ship to everybody worldwide.
Got it. Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, so going back to Hockey app, basically you have my enterprise app here. Now let's just, this is my version page, and let's just assume I download that build here again to show you how to upload the build, right? So I've downloaded the build here. Let me go back here. And so in my downloads folder, let's see if until the download is finished. In that my downloads folder, I can just pick that build here, right? Drag and drop it to the browser. And oops, in a second. Let me put it from here. So I take my build, drag and drop it from here, leave it alone, and now it's uploading immediately to the web page.
Oh,
so I don't
goodness.
Even have to, no complicated uploader, no, browse to the file, drag and drop, and you're done. So that's really the idea is to quickly get started. You have the idea, as I said, you have the build, drag and drop it to the page, ship it. Now this is only, the start, right? And then you go to Visual Studio Team Services, open your build pipeline, and automate this through our API and our Visual Studio extension. So every build automatically gets uploaded. You don't have to even go to that page anymore.
And that's amazing because in this case, I can build an app without doing anything with Hockey App, create the IPA, upload it, and all of a sudden I have a pipeline for people testing.
And it's not only your IPA. It's your IPA for iOS, your APK for Android. It's your AppX bundle for UWP apps. It's your .app for Mac. So it doesn't matter what file type it is. As long as we can pass it on Hockey App, you can drag and drop it to the page.
And that's amazing because now without any intervention, just using Hockey App, you can distribute these things faster to the people that are going to test your application.
Right. Across platforms, right? So you basically, let's say you build a Xamarin app, which the cool thing is, if you're building a Xamarin app, you get iOS, Android, and Windows out of the box from the same code base. Mm-hmm. You get three files, an IPA, an APK, and an AppX. You upload all three of them and then send, you know, one to your Windows friends, one to your iOS friends, and one to your Android friends.
And again, just to be clear, this has, you don't have to do anything with the SDK to make this work.
Correct. You just need to build, upload the build, and you're done.
That's awesome. So the build looks like it's about done. Yeah.
So we're now processing the build, we're extracting all the metadata, the icon, the version number, everything we can find in the package we extract. And then you really have to you can skip that step, but you can also enter release notes or, you know, just say, hey friends, please check this out, you know.
Or we fixed that one bug you were telling us about.
This is a test, right? This is just a test here. And then in the next step, once I have set this, I can go further and say, okay, this build should be restricted to a certain group of users. So I can say, you know, restrict downloads here. And for example, pick, you know, whatever, Ian here. Now only Ian gets access to this build, while everybody else still sees the previous build.
Which is interesting, right? Because you have you can have like rings of testing.
Exactly.
Like the inner ring, the outer ring, the super user.
So to do, so you can either pick users manually, or you can pick a team. So we have one team here, that's the build booth team. So we could imagine how you have multiple teams here and then pick the team. Or you can also add tags to your users and then you have an internal tag or a QA tag or a press tag.
Awesome.
And then say, you know, this build is only intended for the press. You know, it has certain features disabled because I don't want them to see this yet. And then you move along. So let's say I want it to be available for everyone. I click next step. So now the build is available and then I can also pick who gets notified. And notified really means you get an email saying, hey, Thomas has released a new build. Those are the release notes. Tap here to install. You open the download page on your phone. You can directly install the build.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. And so this is, again, this is without having to do anything to your application. But now what we're saying is that because you really don't want to build and then drag it on here, now you're saying you can put this as part of a DevOps pipeline as well on VSTS.
Yeah. On VSTS, you can do things. You can automate your build. So on every commit or manually triggered, you can automatically create a build. Again, all platforms. For iOS, you need a Mac. Mm-hmm. You either need your Mac under your desk, a little Mac Mini hosted somewhere. Also, we have a partnership with Mac and Cloud that offers you basically a shared Mac with other users where you can run your builds. The IPA is still the output, and you upload that IPA to Hockey App. And we have support in VSTS for Xamarin, for Cordova, and for native apps as well. So
that's amazing.
For a platform. But you can even go a step further, and in addition to just building the app, you can also use release management and fully automate your release pipeline. So for example, you would upload, you know, the beta build to Hockey App, and then you have an approval step where your manager or the QA person approves that build. And then the build is automatically pushed to Google Play or the App Store directly from VSTS. So you don't even have to go to iTunes Connect or to Google Play. The VSTS release management is handling this for you. So your whole process is automated. You have an audit. You know who has approved and who has not approved, how your tests ran on Test Cloud. So the full pipeline, the mobile DevOps pipeline, is automated with VSTS, Test Cloud, and Hockey App.
That's amazing. So if you were to hit send here.
They all get a notification. So let's not do that because otherwise they're getting too many emails from me. Let's just notify myself. You know, I click send. An email is sent to me. You can see that here one user was notified. I can directly jump from here to the download page to see how the download page looks on my Mac. I can still download the build on my Mac. So if I want to do the old-fashioned synchronizing thing, for example, you're on an airplane or something where you don't have internet on your phone, but you have Wi-Fi on your laptop, you can still do that. And you can also go here and open a QR code. So if you have a QR code reader on your phone, you don't have to type the URL or check email. You can just scan the QR code, and then the download is happening on the phone.
That's amazing. So this is, again, without changing
without any SDK, it's really just give us your build. You need an account. Two apps are free. And what happened now? This screen resolution changed.
That's okay. Keep going.
Yeah. Just give us your build. Two apps are completely free. Upload your build. Send it to your testers.
Awesome. Yeah. So then the next question, which is important, which we'll get to after we fix this. Okay. 1 second.
Sorry. Oh, that's my. Sorry.
It'll keep recording. Don't worry.
Okay.
So then the next question I have is we talked about sort of the level one kind of stuff where you don't need to do anything to your app.
Yeah.
Now let's see what kind of goodness you start to get when you start adding SDK stuff.
So let me go back to my dashboard here because the demo app is kind of boring because it has no real data, right? Only a few people used it. But we have the Xamarin Evolve app, which is a conference app that all the conference attendees, about 1,500 attendees, got at Evolve. So I can click here on the Android app. Again, I have the same kind of dashboard. I can see, you know, all the metadata, and then I can scroll down here, and in the user metrics session, I see all the metrics about my app. So I can see, you know, how many crashes it got, and that's the pre-opened screen here in the top, in the bottom. So you can immediately see where the conference was, right? This is where, you know, the keynote day, and that's the second day of the conference. Mm-hmm. So there were more crashes during those days, and now you don't know yet why that is. But the obvious answer is obviously, if you click here on the user tab, is that more users have used your app during that time, and so it was crashing more often.
Sure.
Right? So you can see here, you know, this is the usage over the last 30 days. You can see 2,110 unique users have used the app. On April 27th, we had 765 unique users, and you can also see 190 of them were new on that day. So everybody else of those 765 users had installed the app before and tried it out at least once. And then you can see the cliff when, you know, conference was over, people were going home exhausted from the conference. But you can also see, you know, the app is still being used, right? So that's today. We had 79 users today installing that app on their phone. Actually, how many? 21 of them were new, so 50 participants came back. Maybe checking out a video, checking out, finding a session that they wanted to remember. And so similar to users, we also have session tracking. So you can see how often have those users launched the app and used it. So you can see, you know, those 765 users created 13,930 sessions, which really means on that conference day, right, every user was launching the app like, what, 20 times a day.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, right? You go into a session, you listen to the session, you come out of the session and think, oh, what did I want to do next? Oh, this one. Okay, let's go. Now, this is users and sessions, and I show the new Xamarin crash reporting in a minute. But let's say you want to dive further into what the app does, and you add what we call track event call to your app, and you can add that anywhere in your code to see how many users reach that line of code. And I've opened this here in the second tab. So this is our new custom event experience, and you can see the developer has added, you know, those events like session page, which gives you lists of sessions, the filter page where you can filter sessions to his, or, you know, somebody canceled the login, and you can see how often that event happens. So the cancel login happened 17 times for 16 unique users. So somebody canceled twice and everybody else canceled once. And then if you go down here, again, you have all the details about those events. You can see, you know, the session event happened 9,448 times. So 9,448 times somebody looked at the session list, and then you can drill through those boxes to see how many users those were.
And so effectively what you've done is with the SDK, at the startup of the application, you put your key, whatever that is, and then things will just start to happen.
So there's like two or three lines of initializing code depending on the platform. You initialize the SDK with your key, and you can see the key here. So if you go back to the overview page here, you can this is our key for the Xamarin Android app. You put that key into the initializing code. The SDK is initialized, and then you call track event wherever you want to track an event.
Which are like log statements, effectively.
Yeah, or breadcrumb, or whatever you want to call that. Log statement is a good example. And so you log a string to the backend, and then we count how often that event has happened over the last 30 days, over the last 7 days, last 24 hours, and how many users have seen that event.
That's awesome. So you can log when, for example, are people really hitting that tab that you thought was so important? The next
question, not hitting.
Or
right?
not hitting, right, or not hitting. So the next question is, obviously log events are different than errors happening.
Yeah.
Is there a different mechanism, or does the SDK just sort of handle the event when it's an error?
So when your app crashes, basically an unhandled exception or a full crash where your app, you know that, right? You use an app and all of a sudden you're boom, back to the home screen, you have to launch the app again to go back where you were.
Sure.
So this is what we call a crash, and that's automatically collected. You don't have to do anything except initializing our SDK. Now, if we go back here, we see, you know, the app has had 15 crashes in the last 7 days and had about 218 crashes on the biggest day. And I can scroll up here to the crashes tab and see all my crashes for that app. And what's new is we're also loading how many users have seen that crash. So for example, here that top crash group had 151 occasions for 108 users. Now that's almost 1-to-1. But if you go to the next page, there's one here where you have 10 crashes for that group and only a single user. Right? So you know, while you know that crash has happened 10 times, it's really only one guy that had that 10 times.
I see.
And you can also see here that we have that state for the crashes. So if the developer has fixed the crash, they can set the state resolved. So if I go, for example, into this crash group here, right? And again, I see all the metadata about this crash group. I can see, you know, it happened 9 times in the last 30 days, 1 time in the last 7 days. I can see how many users were impacted by this crash, what was the most affected operating system version.
And the device, too.
Yeah, and the device, too. And then if I scroll down here, I see my Xamarin.net mono stack trace, you know, I can see, have nice syntax highlighting, and can see where the crashes happened. And then we do this collapsing here for things where we think, you know, this is kind of like a duplicate or not useful for you. So you really get a nicely formatted stack trace. And you can always go back and see the raw data here, so you can see what our SDK has sent. You can access all the crash logs. So if you go into crash logs here, you can, you know, see every single crash log with all the raw data. And as I had mentioned, if you scroll up again, you can say, okay, I'm done with that. I set it to resolved, and now my team members know, oh, Thomas has taken care of that crash. I don't have to look into it. I can also go in here and say, you know, I want to add a message to that group, you know. And they say, you know, whatever, this is channel 9's fault.
Yes.
Click save here. And I go back to my crash overview page, and now I have this little flag here that indicates, you know, that little annotation, so I can see, oh, this is the channel 9's fault, who cares, right? And let's move on to that next crash group. Now, in addition to that, I can again connect that to Visual Studio Team services. So whenever a crash has appeared, I get automatically a work item in VSTS. And this way, I know what's going on with my dev team. I can follow up. I can link a commit to it. I can, you know, add more comments, discuss it with my devs.
Right.
And then if I close that work item on VSTS, again, my crash group here is resolved. So we have that two-way street where you manage things in VSTS, you manage them on HOCAP, doesn't matter. We take care of you.
And that was the question I was going to ask next. Right. If you're using VSTS for managing sort of the backlog, These bugs might go into the backlog, and it'll just automatically do a two-way sync between them. That's
exactly.
Awesome. And so it feels really simple to get started. You could either go the short way, which is just put your app in Hockey App, or you could go the, and I put in quotes, long way with 3 lines of code and maybe some log statements, and then you've got much more going on.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go the full, you would integrate that into some type of build pipeline with VSTS.
Exactly. And that's really where you want to be at, because it's not sustainable to do all the builds all the time, you know, every day, every hour.
Sure.
For your prototypes, you can, you know, get a certain mileage from doing that yourself, but at some point you want to get to a build system. And if you don't like VSTS, we get you covered with other build systems like, you know, Jenkins. We are open Microsoft now. We have an open API, whatever you want to use, just give us your build, push it through our API. We have open API documentation. We got you covered.
That's awesome. So where can people go to find out more or to get started? Is there like a website?
So we have hockeyapp.net, which is really like the best point to start. Mm-hmm. And I'm already logged in, so let me go back here to the homepage. So this is our homepage. You know, we give you the full feature pitch. We show you what's new, and then you click Get Started for free here. You can use your Microsoft account, you can use your Google account, your Facebook account, or you create an email and password. You're in. And you can upload your first build, and that's it. No credit card required, nothing.
This is awesome. Does it ever cost anything?
I mean, so 2 apps are free forever. So if you're working on an iOS and Android app, for example, those 2 apps are free. If you need more, then it starts at $10 for 5 apps and goes up all the way to $500 for 500 apps if you have that many apps forever.
And that's not a lot of money.
No, it's like essentially it's in the small packages. It's like $2 per app, and then it goes down to $1 per app.
That's amazing. Yeah. So we're not even going to hide. It's not like, hey, use this for free and then later we'll gouge you. We literally, this is very cost effective.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much. I mean, anything else to add to finish up?
Yeah, sure. So we, if you scroll down on our homepage or find our Twitter feed, we are happy to engage with the viewers. We have a Slack channel, we have a support system, we have Twitter, we have Facebook. So come to us in our Slack channel. All our engineers are there listening for feedback. We are all developers ourselves, so we'd love to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We've learned a lot about how to make your applications even more robust.
Yeah.
From inception to build to testing to deployment. Looks like with Hockey App, you've got you covered.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for watching. And my name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We will see you next time. Take care.